This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
A group of residents living in the townsite road area of Nanaimo are actively opposing plans to build units of low-barrier housing for homeless people in their neighborhood. The hospital area facility is one of several that are slated to be built in Nanaimo after funding was received from the provincial government. The Hospital Area Neighborhood Association, HANA, hosted an information meeting on October 21st and then appeared at a city council meeting on Monday, October 25th, where its representatives presented a petition against the low-barrier facility plan for the area. HANA spokesperson Gwen Boyd told Nanaimo City Council that the group has five reasons for opposing the development.
We are opposed to the proposed facility because, number one, the close proximity to several elementary schools, a private school, and a high school. Number two, the close proximity of the proposed facility to seniors' housing and the concentrated population of seniors within a few blocks and the elderly within our neighborhood. Number three, we feel the proposal of two support workers for either 70 or 35 to 40 tenants would be inadequate. Number four, all of the supportive types of housing and services we already have are enough, and one more project of this size could be detrimental to our neighborhood. Number five, we are opposed due to a clear lack of neighborhood benefit. In conclusion, we are eager to break the cycle of homelessness and help people regain their independence through supportive housing projects. However, we do respectfully ask Council to respect our existing neighborhood and reduce the number of units down to 12 persons or less.
And we're joined in the studio today by City of Nanaimo Councillor Fred Pache and former City of Nanaimo Councillor and mayoral candidate Diane Brennan to talk about the political implications of this situation. Welcome back to People First Radio, both of you. Diane Brennan, what's at stake here?
Oh, I think there's a lot at stake here. First of all, there are people who are in dire need of housing, and if this project doesn't go ahead, then that housing will be lost to those people, and they will be on the streets. It's no secret that there's a population of people in Nanaimo who are sleeping in doorways, who are sleeping in parks, and this project would get these people off the streets into housing so that they can begin to kind of normalize their situation and move on to whatever they need to do after that.
So you feel that if this particular project is derailed, then this will be lost?
Oh, I think not only this project in the hospital area will be lost, but the other projects too. I think the provincial government will take a very dim view of Nanaimo if it rejects these projects.
Councillor Fred Pache, has the Hospital Area Neighborhood Association in fact derailed this project at this point in time?
No, not yet. That does not mean that we have to pay the utmost amount of attention to their concerns. Over the time, I have had some meetings with some of the HANA people. I can't say enough about the sincerity with which they come across when they express their concerns. But a lot of those concerns are still based on a certain amount of misinformation, which in turn promotes a certain amount of fear. So it is my intention, and I can only speak for myself as an individual councillor, that we continue a dialogue, a better one if we must, but we have to educate and we have to set straight some of the misinformation that's out on the street.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, HANA spokesperson Gwen Boyd presented to Nanaimo City Council on Monday, October the 25th. Here's City Councillor Diana Johnstone speaking with Gwen Boyd.
It was a privilege to be in the auditorium at the church the other night and listen to the people. I was impressed with a lot of the thought that went into the presentations. The primary focus of the people there was fear. Fear, I think, of the unknown. Fear of what might happen to their neighborhoods. Gwen, could you tell me, do you agree that people that are on the street and homeless without a roof over their heads would never get well? may never get well, but they just would continue to fall further and further into their depressions, into their illness.
If I may respond to that then, is I feel that there is a different alternative than what the city is proposing that would work quite well. I don't think there's a magic bullet, but I think rather than concentrating the services in one area, that's putting them throughout in less than 12 units per building would make it much easier on not only the people themselves, because it would feel less institutional, but it would also be much easier for a neighborhood to absorb and probably less fearful.
Diane Brennan, tell us more about the dynamics involved in this situation.
Well, I think that Gwen Boyd laid it out quite effectively. The residents are fearful of what might happen if there is an over-representation of social services and delivery agencies in their neighborhood, in particular for a clientele that admittedly has probably drug and alcohol problems. I think that it would be easy to say council had not gone about this correctly, that they hadn't done enough work. But, you know, you can probably never do enough work. I think council's been very responsible in their efforts to make sure the community understands and to implement some methods of listening to them and responding within the parameters of this project.
Councillor Fred Patchy, tell us more about the dynamics involved in this situation.
Education, education, education is where it comes from at this point. Gwen Boyd makes reference to the proximity of schools and elderly, and I'd venture to say that there's not a place in this municipality where we would not run into the same problem. There are many schools and elderly are all over the place. The fact that she mentioned just two support staffers, I think is incorrect. That's probably a subject for your second segment here with Christina Martins of Canadian Mental Health that will dispel some of that. The health of the community, I believe that the hospital area is a prosperous and very strong neighborhood. They do have a certain amount of concentration of services that are being, social services that are being dispensed there. But I don't think that when they talk in terms of 35 more units becoming the tipping point, that cannot be absorbed. And finally, you know, reference is made to having smaller units, and I think Ms. Boyd talked in terms of 12, that being the preferred number. We have a memorandum of understanding with the provincial government where we would come up with 160 units, and I would venture to say to you that you do the math, divide 160 by 12 and see how many of those smaller units would have to appear all of a sudden. And I can tell you that the obstacle of even getting one or two houses like that in a neighborhood is going to be very much the same. Someone like Franz Tellier of the John Howard Society, who is in the business of setting up houses in different areas of the city, runs into that trouble big time and had to abandon one or two because of it.
Now, CHLY citizen reporter Ryan Glover attended two recent community meetings about housing for homeless people that is planned for neighborhoods in Nanaimo. He spoke with Brian at the hospital area meeting.
Brian, what brings you to this event tonight?
We were recently made aware of the introduction of wet houses into our neighborhood. We just moved into this neighborhood. We have two small children and a third one on the way, and are a little bit concerned about the impact this may have on the safety of our children and ourselves as well.
What would you like to see happen tonight? What do you hope to have happen or take place?
It's more informative for me. I'm trying to find out what is going on. I can definitely empathize with the situation of some of the people that we're trying to help. I'm a little bit concerned about the placement and a little bit curious as to why these sites were selected over others. And I'm really curious, despite the fact I don't feel we necessarily have a say, as to whether or not this is actually going to mean anything in terms of whether these sites are going to be developed or not. I really do think they are. We're concerned about what is going to be put in place to make sure that our neighborhoods remain safe and kid-friendly.
This is People First Radio. You're listening to a discussion about the City of Nanaimo's plan to introduce supportive housing for homeless people and the strong opposition being encountered as the plan unfolds. We're speaking with City of Nanaimo Councillor Fred Patchy and with former City of Nanaimo Councillor and mayoral candidate Diane Brennan about the political implications of the situation. CHLY citizen reporter Ryan Glover also joins us in the studio today. He recently attended community meetings where Nanaimo citizens discussed neighborhood housing projects for homeless people.
Ryan, I'm wondering if you could share with us what were some of your observations at the hospital area meeting that you attended?
Well, the first observation that I made was the fact that there was a high attendance at this meeting, at this public forum, to a point where it was standing room only. So this definitely signals that people are very much interested in this project. But with that said, I would have to say that the overall tone of this forum, there was quite a bit of anger, animosity, and downright contempt directed specifically towards city council members, the city planners, and public officials who were in attendance. And this outrage, unfortunately, tended to overshadow any chance or opportunity for members of the audience who were there to become more informed about low-barrier housing and have their questions answered. Basically, what I observed was a strategic, planned, almost orchestrated, staged performance set up by the organizers of this public forum, basically to maximize and capitalize on belittling the delegates in attendance. So, in a nutshell, my observation was that the delegates were jockeyed into a position in such a way to be placed in front of a firing squad.
And the delegates, of course, were the city officials.
Correct, correct. Yeah. And just the last comment, even audience members who spoke out in favor of this project or voiced any concern for the homeless that this project will house were outright mocked, jeered, and or interrupted.
Fred Patchy. How did the two planned projects, one in the hospital area of Nanaimo, the other on Wesley Street, and in fact Ryan Glover attended that information meeting as well, and from what Ryan has told me, it was very different. How do these two projects compare and contrast with one another?
The Wesley Street one is, let me first of all say that the locations, the places, the city property that was selected has been known for a long time. It's that's been on the books since 2008, as far as I'm aware. So no big surprises there. Wesley Street, we had an open house at what is proposed to be Wesley Street only about a week ago, where the architectural plans were unveiled, and it was an absolutely wonderful experience to see how these things actually would work. And quite frankly, I wish some more or any people from the hospital area would have been present there, because it would have made a bit of a different exposure, and I think it would have alleviated a small portion of the fear. I want you to also know that we as a council are already receiving correspondence from people in other neighborhoods where some of these places are planned. And, you know, former Councillor Brennan is absolutely correct that if we're being watched, the Ministry of Health is watching us, BC Housing is watching us, and I can tell you that there are a number of municipalities in British Columbia who'd love to have the money that's being committed to Nanaimo in order to deal with this, something close to $40 million, which obviously we don't want to see somewhere else. So again, I come back to the fact that education, continued dialogue, dispelling the fears, but at this point, steady as she goes as far as I'm concerned.
Diane Brennan, you wrote a column for the Nanaimo Daily News about the low-barrier housing proposed for the hospital area in Nanaimo and commented on community and city council responses. You said that Nanaimo City Council faces a defining moment. Tell us more about that.
Well, I think council does face a defining moment for themselves as a council. This is an opportunity for council to coalesce and, for want of a better word, get some cojones and stand up for a group of people who cannot stand up for themselves. There's never been a project that I recall since 1989 that hasn't faced serious opposition from neighborhoods. And once the projects are there, people find them that they are an asset to their neighborhood, and they certainly don't, the fears don't materialize. So it's a defining moment for council to sort of grip this issue and move forward. And if they don't, that too will define them.
We have just a moment left in our discussion today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add, Ryan Glover.
Well, like I said, there were a number of members in the audience who I spoke with that were there for the sole purpose of becoming just more informed in regards to what even low-barrier housing is. And I would have to say that it may be worthwhile to consider organizing another political forum in order to allow these audience members a chance and an opportunity for more open dialogue and discussion.
Diane Brennan.
I think that Nanaimo City Council has, yes, would be well advised to continue discussions with the neighborhood. But don't forget, 2 years ago, the Nanaimo School Board turned down $87 million for this community to build a new school in that area. This city council is faced with $40 million being offered to them, and that's not just building dollars, it's health dollars as well. They really need to seize this opportunity and show the rest of the province that we value partnerships with the province to deal with our problems.
And Councillor Fred Patchy.
Well, I want the Hospital Area Neighborhood Association and any other neighborhood association, for that matter, who are at some point going to be in the same boat, to know that we do listen, that obviously a petition such as we got from Hannah with 1,137 signatures means something, that also means that we are not of a mind that we are going to mindlessly force this down the throats of people. We will listen. But as former Councillor Brennan states, there is a lot at stake. And yes, we need to have some cojones, if I remember my Spanish properly, to do that. And I, for one, again, I want to emphasize, I can only speak for myself. I intend to do so.
Thank you very much for taking the time to come in and join us today to speak about this issue.
Glad to be here.
Fred Patchy is a City of Nanaimo councillor and is co-chair of the Safer Nanaimo Working Group. Diane Brennan is a former City of Nanaimo councillor and mayoral candidate. Ryan Glover is a citizen reporter with CHLY Radio. For additional comments by individuals attending two recent community meetings held to discuss proposed housing projects for homeless people in Nanaimo, search for People First Radio online and visit our webpage.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY Radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.